From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, January 27th. Coming up, student abolitionists at the University of Illinois' campus in Urbana want campus police gone. But campus police and university administrators say they're a necessary part of college life. We'll hear the third and final part of our series in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A federal partnership between Walgreens and CVS aimed at vaccinating all residents and staff in long-term care facilities nationwide has come under fire from governors all over, including Governor J.B. Pritzker. Hannah Meisel has more.
CVS and Walgreens began pushing into Illinois' long-term care facilities in late December. Both pharmacies have completed 100% of their first visits to skilled nursing facilities, what you'd traditionally think of as a nursing home. But neither pharmacy started vaccinating in assisted living facilities until Monday of this week. Illinois is one of only two states with this late a start date for assisted living facilities. A CVS spokesman says Illinois chose January 25th for the start of assisted living facility vaccination. The spokesman declined to speak on tape, but pointed NPR Illinois to a recent CNN interview with CVS Chief Medical Officer Dr. Troy Brennan.
This was all part of the program that was well understood by everyone who was involved, from the state departments of public health.
The Illinois Department of Public Health has reportedly disputed CVS's claim, saying the pharmacies determine the start dates. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Some labor advocates say a recent executive order from President Biden could lead to stronger worker protections in meatpacking plants and other essential workplaces. OSHA must revise its COVID-19 workplace guidelines and consider new emergency standards like mask mandates by mid-March. Labor advocates like Darcy Traumenhauser at the nonprofit Nebraska Appleseed hope the order will make social distancing, testing, and PPE enforceable requirements.
This is really important because it's showing movement forward and creating a focus on worker safety for the people doing essential work during the pandemic. But what it lands on, we won't know for another couple weeks.
Biden also asked the agency to beef up its enforcement of protections, especially toward employers who put large numbers of workers at risk for COVID-19. During times of loss, it's human nature to want to be physically together and offer comfort to those who are grieving. Not being able to do that during the pandemic has complicated the grieving process. Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman has more.
When the normal rituals for grieving are disrupted, it can be even harder for people to find closure, says SIU Edwardsville professor Jocelyn DeGroat, who studies grief. But speaking on the 21st show, she says little things can go a long way in helping someone through. The best thing to say to someone who's grieving, she says, is, "I'm sorry." Then offer to listen.
And the things not to say would be anything that minimizes the loss. Even saying, "I know how you feel," is terrible because you don't know how they feel. You might have had the same loss. You might have lost a parent just like they did, but their loss is personal.
She says grieving is a long process. It's normal to be sad. And the goal of grieving is not to move on, but to learn how to live with the loss. I'm Christine Herman, Illinois Newsroom.
Find the full conversation on grief during the pandemic at 21stshow.org. Champaign County officials reported 46 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday, bringing the number of active cases in the county to 656, including 24 county residents hospitalized with the virus. No additional deaths were reported. The death toll stands at 106. There are 72 people hospitalized at Carl Hospital in Urbana, which serves patients from multiple counties, including 9 in the ICU. Champaign County's 7-day positivity rate is at 4.8%, excluding data from the University of Illinois. So far, about 11% of the county's vaccine-eligible population has received the first dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. About 1% has been fully vaccinated. Still to come, the third and final story in our series on campus policing. Are there solutions that would satisfy both campus police and those calling for its defunding? That story from Lee Gaines is next on 217 Today.
IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org for stories you can't find anywhere else in Central Illinois. Another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Student abolitionists at the University of Illinois' campus in Urbana want campus police gone. But campus police and university administrators say they're a necessary part of college life. Illinois Newsroom education reporter Lee Gaines spent months talking to students, activists, and campus police as part of a series we're bringing you this week on 217 Today. Today, the final installment of the series, looking for solutions that would satisfy people on both sides of the debate.
Liage Blue Stewart is a Black U of I senior studying theater. He says he feels more threatened by campus police than protected, and he doesn't see the value of the department.
It just seems like they're just here. And for the fact that they have such a large budget that some of the departments in the school actually don't have and actually could use, and it can be more for the students, it's crazy to me.
But the idea that you'd rid a campus of its police force is crazy to a lot of other people, including UIPD Chief Alice Carey.
And if people see what happens, you know, in the streets where people don't care about the human life, then that may change their minds as to why we need law enforcement in today's day and age.
So what are the alternatives? An estimated 95% of all colleges and universities with more than 2,500 students have their own law enforcement agencies. But I struggled to find any that had actually abolished their police forces. I did, however, find two universities that changed the way they approach crime and punishment on campus. Devin Kramer is an assistant dean at the University of Colorado Boulder. Campus officials there say 1,000 students went through the campus's restorative justice program last academic year.
We see not only the benefit in terms of lower recidivism rates, but we actually see benefit in terms of our town and gown relationships in Boulder because of our RJ program.
The program brings students together with those they have harmed and other members of the community to talk through what happened. Then they come to an agreement about how to make it right. Kramer says restorative justice is not a replacement for campus police, but
the more people we can get into a mindset of harm repair instead of punishment, I hope, I don't know this, but I hope that that would result in systems, you know, improving.
We need something like this that's innovative and it gives alternatives to offenders. And I think it'd be a great idea and a great program to implement here.
That's UIPD Chief Alice Carey. I played some of my conversation with Kramer for her. She says her department is trying to reform in other ways, like adding social workers to patrol units. But she says restorative justice is something she'd like to explore. Scholars and activists say a similar but different type of work is needed to fix systemic problems. It's called transformative justice, and students at the U of I want to establish the practice on their campus. Dara Quiera Amani Beyer is the transformative justice program coordinator at Brown University in Rhode Island.
Transformative justice really exists for communities to solve problems on their own terms in ways that aren't punitive, and that capacity building work and that skill building work can absolutely happen at any point, at any time.
Beyer says the program empowers students to hold people in their communities accountable for their actions outside of institutions like the police. She says it also tries to provide resources to communities to end cycles of violence. U of I senior Liage Stewart is on board with the idea, and he knows that it's going to take students like him thinking outside the box to make it happen.
I mean, the society that we're hoping for is one that we haven't seen before. So that radical imagination is definitely going to have to come into play when we think of ways that we can include everyone.
Stewart doesn't expect campus police to disappear anytime soon. And UIPD Chief Alice Carey says restorative and transformative justice programs won't be created overnight. But the need to find new ways of addressing harm committed on campus is something both the abolitionist and the police officer can agree on. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
You can find the full three-part series on campus policing at illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we could see a few snow flurries with cloudy skies and a high of 30 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Christina Stella, Christine Herman, and Lee Gaines. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.